join us for an encouraging word from our senior pastor, Greg Thurstenson. Here's the message.
It sounds as if the heavens have opened outside. And so Charles Martin, one of our ushers, also known as Charles Doppler Martin, gave me a Doppler update, and he said, it is really pouring down hard. And he said, Pastor, you'll have at least 55 minutes before it stops raining. My wife looked at me and said, you've only got 25 minutes. These people know how to swim, and they can make it to their car. How many of you are thankful for the pastor's wife on days like today? I feel like as your pastor, which that's a wonderful privilege, I feel like as your pastor and as your shepherd, it would be wise for us to just kind of talk a little bit this morning. Well, you listen and me talk for just a little while this morning and recover what God did, what God is doing here at Dominion Church, and make sure that we recover these truths for the sake of repeating what God is asking us to be faithful and responsible to. And there's two things that I want to recover for us this morning that I clearly heard God say that we had a responsibility for. The first is, as a church family, not only do we have a calling, but we have a responsibility to bring our deep hurts and our sticky issues to the Lord in worship. It's there in worship that He takes the very things in life that could disqualify us, and He makes us, with His mercy and grace, through worship, into something and someone that God can now call holy and acceptable. So the things that would disqualify us in our eyes are the very things that God in His eyes ask for, and when we give them to Him, qualifies us to be used by Him. The second thing that I'd like to share with you that I believe that God wants us to make sure we not only recover but protect and guard is that we're not to even ask for the power of the Holy Spirit if we are not very serious and very willing to fulfill the purpose of the gospel. And that is for us not to keep the gospel to ourselves, but us to carry the gospel to those who are hurting, those who are broken, and those who do not know the Lord. And so with His power does come great responsibility, and you don't even have to be Spider-Man to achieve that truth. On Monday, I received an email that I think really helps us better understand what God is saying and what God is doing. It said, Pastor, I just want to take a moment and thank you for being sensitive to the moving of the Holy Spirit and obedient to God in orchestrating the Power Now Conference. I believe that we, as a church family, are in a special and miraculous time here at DC, and I, for one, can't wait to see what God is planning next. In fact, I am expecting financial breakthrough and miraculous offerings to begin appearing at your door. If you'd like to bring one of those, my office is just down the hall, last one on the left. But this individual continues, and she says, I read this scripture today, and in just a moment, I'm going to read that scripture. It's found in Luke chapter 7. She said, I read that and felt like this is where we were this last weekend, for God is back, and He is showing up at Dominion Church. As for me, I want to be a usable ingredient in the incense of praise. I see such an anointing on Dina, and it is spreading from the praise team to the congregation. I love it when God gets contagious. I hope that you and I recognized last weekend together, for those that were able to be here, that worship is more than just about a team of people on the altar who are holding microphones. For us as a church to take this truth and apply it and fulfill what God is calling us to, it means that all of us now have been enlisted in that commitment to worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. That you and I must understand that we create atmospheres round about us, and that our worship can't just be average, it can't be a little dabble do you, it can't be mediocre, and it cannot be business as usual. It has to be intentional, and it has to be intense. It has to be passionate, and yes, even on some occasions, God can hear us when we're not loud. This church is learning and growing and maturing in the ability to recognize what God's presence is asking of us. Sometimes He asks for more volume, more noise. He wants us to be loud in our praise. But yet, that's not the only way that worship is received by the Lord. The Lord will many times say, be still and be quiet and know that I am God. And it excites me to be in a church family that knows how to just linger and sit and tarry and be silent in the presence of the Lord and allow God to be God in our lives and speak to us individually about the things that He wants to talk with us about. And so I'm thrilled that you as a church family took your place, that we as a whole took our position. And so from this day forward, may we never be the same again. Amen. Say that for your spouse. May from this day forward, you never be the same again. Say that for your children. Prophesy this into existence. May you never be the same again. I don't want to live life with an expectancy of the same, old, same thing. I want to live with an expectancy that this could be the day that God does the mysterious and the miraculous in my life. That this is the day that God changes everything, not just in my heart, but in the hearts around me. That God brings to pass all the things that He said were yes in my life, and that this is a day that I get to say, amen. When does your amen come? Well, if it's before dinner and the meal is set at the table, you pray your prayer, and when does the amen come? At the end of the prayer and at the beginning of what you went there for. You went there to partake, to participate with the food. You didn't just go there to smell it. You didn't just go there to let your kids throw it on the floor or rub it on each other. No, you went to that place for a reason. You went to participate. You went to partake in what that restaurant promised you in the menu. That's the yes part. That takes my family a long time to figure out where we're going to go and decide on the yes. Now, this is how it starts in our house. We will talk, and we being myself and Dina, where do you want to eat, baby? And she'll say, I don't know. Where do you want to eat? And I'll say, I don't know. Let's ask your mom, where do you think she's going to want to eat? Well, I don't know. Doesn't matter to me. Wherever we go is fine. Until we start naming places. No, that doesn't sound too good. No. Does it hurt because I said it, or does it hurt because it's true? It would be awful to go to a restaurant and spend the whole time there just looking at the food, hearing and seeing the promise that was yes, that you and your family said, yes, we're headed to Labrisa's after service. You said yes to the cheese enchiladas. You said yes to the chips and the sauce. You said yes to the fajitas. You said yes, only to get there and never have the amen. Only to get there and look at it and smell at it and listen to everybody else. Watch everybody else taste and see that Labrisa was good. That's how church can be. If you're not careful, you can come to church and you can look at what everybody else is tasting and seeing that from the Lord is good. You can talk about going. You can come and do many things. You can watch the goings of the Lord, but there's not anything like tasting and truly for yourself experiencing the miraculous power of God, and that it is good. There has to be a place in your life. There has to be a place in this church where we arrive at the amen to our yes. It can't just be a life filled with empty promises that never comes to pass. There has to be the day where your body that has been sick and unable to heal finally gets to taste and see that the Lord is good, and your ears finally get to hear, by His stripes you are healed, and there is power now. Be whole. There has to be that day for your marriage. There has to be that day for your family. There has to be that day for your finances. There has to be that place. You create that place with your worship. You announce to others with your worship, this is that place. God is back. God is here. His power is now, and His strength and His ability and His supernatural self is contagious. We all practice being contagious. Think about it. If you're around a group of people for an evening, you start kind of talking like they talk. You kind of use the words they use. You kind of laugh the way they laugh. You've been in a season of impartation and you've received that. You walk in that. You take on the mannerisms of that when you've spent a considerable amount of time around their presence. We all believe in impartation. We all taste. And from that taste, we grow and mature and become something or someone. What I hear God saying is that I long for you to be around my presence. And not just once, but over and over and over again until you start to talk the way I talk, until you start to walk the way I walk, until you have the authority that I have, until you have the power that I have, until your possibilities are no longer trapped in an indefinite yes, but now you are living in a day called now, and you can speak the things that be not as though they are. I don't think God ever meant for coming to church to be this miserable of an experience. Oh, when I was a kid, it was miserable. I was a praying boy. And about Saturday at 7, I'd start praying, "Oh, God, please help us not have to go to church tomorrow." His church was dry and it was stale and it was boring and it felt like God had left, and that was contagious. I didn't want to go there, and I didn't want to be in a place that was dry and contagious and without possibilities. I didn't want to go and sit by other people who were more bored than I was, that the only reason they went to church is because their parents went to church, and the only reason their parents went to church was because their parents went to church, and that's what we do in our family. We go to church, but we never have a meeting with a holy, miraculous, mysterious God. Oh, that you and I would be the kind of people who walk in the mystery of God, who walk in the miraculous of God, that when people get around us, they see that we are contagious, that we know Him, and that He knows us. In Him we have our being and our living and our breath. That's the kind of church I want to be in. The kind of church when you wake up on Sunday morning, you're not going because you have to go, but you're going because you want to go, because you know someone invited you to the house of the Lord, and you know there, if you can just get there, God can heal your marriage, God can heal your body, God can heal your finances, God can heal and deliver you. Well, I got my daddy pointing finger out now. Hello. Luke 7 says in verse 16, the passage of scripture that one of our leaders spoke of from the Message translation. And Sherry writes here and says, they all realized they were in a place of holy mystery. That's where we are. And it says that they realized they were in a place of holy mystery and that God was at work among them. They were quietly worshipful. As Spirit-filled people, we don't practice that very much. So let's say that together. They were quietly worshipful. They were what? And then they were noisily grateful. What were they? Man, as a kid, like last year, I tell you, I love Christmas. Now, I hear people lie a lot. And they'll talk about, like, and let me give you a specific picture. They talk about stuff, and I think they lie when they say, oh, you know, it's not as much about receiving the gift for me as it is giving the gift. I just get great joy out of giving gifts. Oh, I just get so much more joy out of giving a gift than receiving a gift. Can I tell you, that's not me. And most that know me know that I'm very much a gift giver. I mean, I might be giving you a hard time, but I am always giving gifts. I'm a gift giver, and I love that. But I'm telling you, there is not anything like receiving a gift. It doesn't have to be a lot to go a long way with me. I'm in my office, and Dustin Obel has this holy moment. He walks in, And he had been at Cracker Barrel. Can I have a good amen? He did not bring me back any of the biscuits with the butter and the strawberry preserves that every man should participate in communion and use, but he brought me back something that he knows is dear to my heart, hot tamales. I'm not talking about Mexican food here. I'm talking about candy. And it's an old school large box of hot tamales. Man, he walked in and it was like he held the secret to my heart. I had no idea what he said after I opened that gift of hot tamales. He could have told me, "Pastor, I ran over your car on the way in today." And I didn't hear anything because I was receiving the gift. And it was awesome. Other gifts I like to receive, for those of you taking notes on today's sermon, goldfish. My wife sends this in from the home office in Sioux City, Iowa. Goldfish. So here's the point, though. I believe we serve a Heavenly Father who loves to give us gifts. And His giving is contagious. It began at Calvary when He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what kind of a life? A lame life? A jacked up life? A miserable life? What kind of life? Everlasting. And can I tell you, everlasting includes here too. Some of us have been holding on like everlasting life doesn't begin until we get to heaven. And so we just got to be party of one, miserable, your table is ready for the rest of your life. And you come to church and just hold on. But the Lord is not longing for us just to hold on. He is ready for us to be noisy and grateful and quit holding out, but begin to call out to others with the lives we live. And He is ready to fulfill this verse by saying, God is back looking to the needs of His people. And when people begin to do that and we begin to give the gift of Christ to the community around us, then the news of Jesus will begin, as this scripture said, it will begin to spread throughout all the country. These are those things that God is doing through the subject matter of our worship. I want to talk for just a few more moments about that subject matter of worship, because it falls in line with not just us receiving His gift, but us bringing to Him gifts and us being gift givers that give to Him the things that move His heart. And anytime that you move God's heart, get ready, because you can't help but move God's heart, that it also moves God's hand. He cannot help Himself. He is a Father to us who delights in us and delights to give to us His greatest things here on earth. He longs to use you as someone who's contagious. Contagious with a testimony that when you share it with people that you work with, go to school with, live within your home, it gets contagious in them, and they begin to want to walk and talk along the same path that you walk and talk. So I want to talk a little bit about what true worship is, and maybe even splice in a little bit of what true worship is not. Because we have been held as a church family, not just as a team of people with microphones on the stage, but folks that sit in the chairs, we have been held responsible for true worship. True worship is more than just a loud emotional experience. True worship reaches deep, deep down into every heart, into the depth of that heart's soul, and it touches every aspect of your life. I think that's why sometimes people don't go there, because there's certain things we've worked very hard at not wanting God to go there, not wanting our spouse, not wanting our family, not wanting our friends to go there. Because that's our hurt, that's our brokenness, that's the area in our life that's been crushed. Don't go there. I'm not going to talk about that as we fire up the engines and get defensive. And yet that's where God goes as we begin to worship. He goes to the places in our life that are broken. He goes to the times in our life when we've been crushed. The Bible says in Psalms 34 and verse 18 that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, And he saves those who are crushed in spirit. It means that when you and I are crushed, it means that when you and I are broken, when you and I feel abandoned and left as orphans by everyone else, when we are left completely alone, we're not alone. He is there with us. And it's in that moment he's saying, you know what the cure for this is? You know what the key to you overcoming this is? Do you know how to overcome this? It is worship. Where you take all the things that would disqualify in you in your eyes and other people's eyes, and in the middle of all that, you just worship me. Because I'm going to take all that brokenness. I'm going to take all that which has been crushed in your life and left you as bitter. And in that place, when you begin to worship, the sweetness of my mercy, the sweetness of my grace is going to wash you, it's going to cleanse you, and it's going to generate powerful feelings in you. Worship should generate powerful feelings because God goes to the root and God goes to the core of our existence and our being. It's there that God then enlightens our minds. He expands our perspectives and our understandings about Him. Here's a good example of the way it works. I think a lot of times as people, we know each other from afar. And we have perceptions. Sometimes they end up being misconceptions. We'll see someone from afar, not really know them, and we'll draw certain conclusions. This happens to us all the time. Then after we get around that person, we'll hear ourselves saying, well, you're not anything like I thought. You're not anything like I thought. A lot of times that's the way it is with God. We see Him through our brokenness. We see Him through that place in our life that's been crushed, that place in our life that's been abused, that place that somebody painted God out to be angry at us, that place that made God look like He would only love us when we were right with Him, when we were righteous. We look at all that and we see God from afar. And so we don't go there. We don't really go there to trust in God. We don't really go get close to God for fear that all those things we perceive will be true, only to get around God and realize, man, God, you're not anything like that. You're loving. You're forgiving. You're merciful. You're caring. You're patient. You're not anything like I thought. See, the Lord, when we truly worship Him, it's us getting close to Him. Not because He's ever left, and not because we've really moved on the outside, but it's because we have kept things from Him on the inside. This hurt is just too deep. This pain is just too great. This episode in my life was just too bad. I can't really give that to you. I can't really trust you with that. It's going to take time for me to work that out. And so we take this walk with God into our own hands, into our own thoughts, into our own words, into our own ways. And we use all of our energy to try to figure out what God is just simply wanting to pull out. We spend all this time keeping stuff in that God is trying to take out. And so God gets close to us and He says, can I have that? And He gets close to us in worship. And it's almost like a little bit of a tug of war. It's a wrestling match. And it happens when you're in praise and worship. And suddenly that song will not just be one you know in the words, but you'll start to experience in the truth. And you'll find yourself starting to get a little bit emotional. And you'll feel yourself starting to feel a little hope or get a little excited. And you're about to start raising your hands and really enter into worship. And then the broken voice, the voice of brokenness, the voice of where you've been hurt and crushed. It says, I wouldn't worship if I was you. I wouldn't do that if I was you. You're not worthy. You're not good enough to worship that way. You got to go get clean before you worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And so you put your hands down and your head follows after. And what you're worthy of at that point is to continue carrying the death sentence of your guilt, your shame, and your condemnation. We're going to look at how the Lord gives this woman the secret to being free. How the Lord shows her where he is in her brokenness and her crushedness. We're going to look at how key worship is in your life. And you're going to see that true worship causes you to be up close and personal with God, with all that crushedness, all that brokenness, and all that bitterness that's deep inside you. And that it's in that moment that God is convicting us. And it's for the whole purpose of taking out what we've been using all of our energy to keep in. And we'll go from looking for relief at church to experiencing the power of release. It's two different things. Relief and release are two terms that if you're not careful, you will not understand and discern and know the difference. And you will find yourself coming back to church week after week after week, praying very similar prayers. Oh God, just give me relief from what I'm going through and give me the strength to live my life one more week as I continue to go through this again and again and again and again. And God is saying, you know what? With my conviction that makes you uncomfortable, it's a type of surgery for you. That if you'll just give it to me, if you'll just let go of what's in your hand, then I can let go of what's in my hand and you will be released from this. And you can use your strength this week, not to just try to find more relief, but you can use your strength this week to rejoice and be glad because you have moved out and you have moved forward and you are never going back to that place of brokenness and crushedness again. It will no longer have the effect on you that it has always had. Somewhere, someday, sometime, you and I need help. That's what I'm trying to say with passion and energy is this. I see many, many people live their lives over and over and over again, and they relive the same hurt and brokenness over and over and over and over again. Now, it may have come in a relationship form, and maybe in their first marriage, things didn't work out. Maybe it wasn't even their fault, but they 10 years removed from that brokenness, continue to relive that shame, that condemnation, that having been weighed and measured and having been found lacking, they walk 10 years later in that same wound, that same brokenness. They bear that weight of shame and condemnation and guilt. And my point is, there comes that day in the grace and the economy of God when God looks at your bitterness and God looks at your brokenness, and through conviction he says, worship me out of your wounds, because the thing that was your arena of affliction now in my ability and power becomes your arena of authority. You can finally set these ashes down, and today they can become crowns. You can finally put the guilt down, pick up the grace. You can put down that which the enemy has messed up, and now you can rise up and fulfill the promises in your life that God said are not just yes, but they're amen. Because that's when you really start feasting. It's the prayer at lunch afterwards. You say grace, you say thanks, and then you say amen. And then you begin to eat something new. Not leftovers. Although, how many of you really believe that every basket of chips they set down are fresh? How many of you are like me and know there's a conspiracy theory? They go back and act like they get fresh chips, but they grab them from somebody's table who's already left. I'm not opposed to driving used cars, but I am against using used chips in my dip. Just so you know. True worship. There's all these things going on in worship that God wants for us, but in the same breath, the enemy confirms how much God wants for us by how much the enemy attacks us during worship. And the enemy gets us so off track, and he talks to us about, well, they're playing that song a little faster than the group that did that. They're playing that song a little slower. Well, if I was the worship leader, I would sing it this way. And if I was on the drums, I would play them that way. And can I just tell you, for 16 years I've been trying to get in this praise team and have not yet made it. But that I want it my way. And so while we're supposed to be worshiping, we're wrestling. We're wrestling over little things that distract us and keep us from the main thing. And we wrestle over preferences and styles and volumes and how light the lights are or how dark they are. We wrestle over all these things that keep us distracted. And when the Holy Spirit's conviction comes, we start wrestling over other people's sins instead of confessing our own sins. During worship, the conviction, the presence of the Lord goes out and it begins to really talk to us about the things that are deep in our core that keeps us from God's way. And sometimes in order to not go there, we'll start looking around the room and we'll be watching more for where others are falling short of the glory instead of listening to what God is saying about where we fall short of the glory. See, the enemy knows that this power of worship is more than an emotional experience. The enemy knows that God gets very up in our face and very personal in our hearts, that he generates not just deep emotion, but he begins to touch and change every aspect of our being, that he turns the light bulb on in our mind, and our perspectives change towards God. And instead of running from him, we find with conviction we start running towards him. The enemy knows that true worship, when you worship God in spirit and truth, that God begins to confirm previous scriptures and previous prophetic words that God promised you in your life. And you will hear God say, don't stop now. Don't quit. You're on the right track now. Do you know when it gets the worst? I hope you know when it gets the worst, because it gets the worst right before your breakthrough, because the enemy picks up on the fact that God is here, that God is big, that God is back, and God is about to touch this part in your life. And so he'll try to distract you and discourage you with weariness and tiredness and hopelessness. And it's at its worst when God is about to be at his best. And so many times you and I quit and we snatch victory right out of the hands, or the enemy snatches victory right out of our hands as God is releasing it in to our hands in life. True worship, man, it refreshes us. And it encourages us to obey him. Now, I want to throw a term out at you. It's called constructive criticism. How many of you know that term? And how many of you would agree that it's much more fun to use it on someone else than someone else to use it on you? Now, Pastor Clint, I love you. And I want to help you. And so in love, let me criticize you. And sadly, we so often use those terms in love. We're going to constructively criticize you. That what happens is, because that's our interaction as humans, we hear those terms truth, love, and we run from that when God uses it. Because we're like, oh, here it goes. I knew it. If I got close to God, he would be like everyone else. He would criticize me too. Are you breathing yet? Or is this too close to home? Or am I too close to 1 o'clock for you to hear any longer? Which is it? That's the thing about God is he's personal. And the kingdom of God is far different than the kingdom of man. The kingdom of man many times measures according to appearance, according to dollars and cents and titles. But that's not how God treats becoming spiritually mature. God has a little different way of measuring things. He looks at us and he looks for his way at work in us. He looks at what he's been asking of us, and then, in turn, what he's been getting from us. Worship reviews all that. And not only does it confirm what God is saying, but it confirms what God is doing. And when God comes to check on us with conviction, if we would just let that conviction lead to his refreshing, he will carry us to a place that his correction feels more like encouragement than constructive criticism. Because generally what constructive criticism does is bring out the defense mechanisms in all of us. That's not the way God corrects. He corrects with great compassion and great patience. And he lovingly brings us to a place that when he spanks us, if we're just trying to be obedient, we don't even know it. And now we find ourselves not having to do what he's asked of us. We find ourselves wanting to do it. Here's a great thing that someone said about true worship. They said, true worship has the power to change our hearts. It can inspire us to reach for new heights of holiness. And in some miraculous, mysterious way, it has the power to move the heart of God. I'm going to package this for next week. But I'm going to tell you a little bit of a story, and then we're going to go home. And next week, we're going to look at this story that really is significant because it brings into perspective everything I've talked about this morning. It's a story found in John chapter 4. It's here that in verse 7, we see that Jesus is in Samaria. He is passing through Samaria. And we find him standing at a well that holds water. It's a deep well. And it's here that a Samaritan woman walks up on him. She has come because she is thirsty. She needs sustenance. She is dehydrated, or she is in the process of dehydration, and she needs something natural to appease her thirst. She has come in this story for something natural, because that's what we do. We as human beings seek to find the answer for the need that we have in the natural, not realizing that there's always a supernatural solution for that which we're walking through in the natural. So she walks up to this well, and we know she's very poor because in this culture, if you have any resource at all, you don't pull that water out of that well for yourself. You send a servant. But in this story, she is the servant. She is all that she has. She is enslaved to where she is in this time of her life. She's come looking for something natural. She's doing something natural. And what I want you to see here is that something supernatural is even at work when she doesn't see it. I want you to try that on for just a moment. Because here in this story, you see the Lord is waiting on her. He knows her need. He knows where she's going to be. And so he's gotten there before she gets there. What thing have you been praying? And it's built and based out of your need. It's a natural need. And you're getting thirstier and thirstier living without it. And you are on the edge of dehydration, emotionally, physically, relationally. What thing in your life has God already known and gone ahead and is waiting at a well for you? He's waiting. And he knows where he needs to get you. He knows where he's standing. He knows where his supernatural resource is. So when he convicts you and says, not this, that, not that, this, he's doing a mid-course adjustment based on the provision he has already left in your path. Now get a hold of this, because anytime you get a prophetic word and you truly know it's been from God and it's come from his word, that is God's way of announcing to you, I am ahead of you. You are on the right path. I am awaiting you. God always places himself before us. He is always in the path ahead of us. He is always working out what's best for us. There is always supernatural things awaiting divine natural instructions. I don't think you're getting this. But a good example would be when God speaks to us about giving. A great example is to give God whatever he's asking. Doesn't always have to be finances, but when God asks of us to give something, could be forgiveness. Give that person forgiveness. Give that person a ride home. Give that person a call and check on them. Give that person a note of encouragement. Give that person a coupon to Shipley's for, I don't know, about 30 days of free coffee. And give that person, Pastor Greg, that before you leave this morning. What you give out of obedience, out of immediate obedience, continues to keep you headed towards this path where God is waiting for you. And in this story, this woman is being waited on. She's in the natural. The Lord has prepared for her something supernatural. She doesn't know she's about to meet the Messiah, but it's here at the well. She meets the Messiah. He shares his power, and she sees him in a way she had never seen him before. And it's here that he gives her the secret and gives us the secret in life. When we are broken, we are crushed, we are undone, we are to worship. This is a woman that doesn't have it all together. She's divorced. She's from a mixed race. She hasn't had the best of luck in relationships, and she has a very questionable character. They meet at this well. First, he asks her, he says, "Ma'am, give me a drink if you would, please." And she's taken back by that because she's a Samaritan. He's a Jew. They hate each other in this culture. Jews see Samaritans as mongrels, as dogs. Not even worthy of eating crumbs from the table of a Jew is a Samaritan. And yet here is this Jew asking for her to give him a drink. And they continue to talk, and then he offers her a drink that once she drinks of his well, it's living springs, it's living water, she will never thirst again. It's here that God changes her life. It's here that from that point on, everything changes. And in the middle of their conversation, he asks her to give something. When she gives it, it's her heart. And when she gives her natural heart to a supernatural God, divine things begin to happen in her life. That day at the well, she finds him to be the Messiah. She leaves that place and she announces to everyone she runs into. That entire countryside hears that the Messiah is here. He's now, and he knows all the deep secrets in my heart. And so here she stands. And as they're having this conversation, the Lord says to her these powerful words that I leave you with this morning. The time is coming, and indeed it's here now, when true worshipers, true adorers, will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is looking for those who will worship him in that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The woman said, I know that the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus told her, and what he told her showed her, he was the Messiah. And in that moment, what she saw, it freed her. Because it not only revealed who she was, but it revealed who he was. And there, my friend, is worship. There is worship. If you will allow the conviction of realizing who you are to continue at a deep level in you, you will arrive at seeing who he is. And not just who he is, but who he will be in your life today. And so today, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand. And I want you to think about things the way this lady did. She went looking for God to meet her need. Oh, she didn't know she was looking for God. She was looking to meet her need. She arrived at a well, and at that well, she was looking for what she could do in her own strength. So often, we come to church only looking for what man can do in their strength, not realizing that God has come before us. God has stood before us and said, why don't you come and drink of my presence, drink of my possibility, drink of what only I can do in your life, that when you drink of me this morning, you will never thirst in this area of your life again. I will break what has broken you. I will sweeten what has embittered you. I will heal what has diseased you. So she came looking for something natural, doing something very natural. And the Lord said, ma'am, give me a drink. That's what the Lord's saying to each one of us. He's saying it a little different. In essence, he's saying, my Father is looking for a church who will worship him in spirit and truth. Looking for people who stop following the clock on Sunday morning and start following God on Sunday morning. Looking for a people who quit worrying more about what others are doing or not doing in worship and just use that energy to worship him in spirit and truth, because those people will have a supernatural, heavenly, divine encounter with a holy God if they'll just give him a drink of their own worship. I'd like to ask you to just stand. For indeed, Scripture says in Psalms 34 and 18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. That gives each and every one of us an invitation. He says that not only is he close to the brokenhearted, but he saves those who are crushed in spirit. I'm not sure where you are and what's broken, but he is. And I'm here to remind you this morning that he has gone before you and he has prepared for you what you cannot do for yourself. And so, in your weariness and in your tiredness, in your thirst, I want you to stand right where you're at. I don't want you to move. I want you to realize that God stands with you at this well of impossibility. You may have come and just asked for something little. You've just asked for relief, which is temporary. Relief is just a lightening of something oppressive, painful, or distressing. But God is saying, drink of me, because I will not give you relief. I will give you release, which means I will set you free from restraint, confinement, and enslavement, as in releasing hostages. So as a sign, a surrender, I want each of us that has a need in our life, a brokenness, a bitterness, a crushedness, to raise our hands. This is the altar call. I want you to raise your hands. And I want you to surrender what's in your hands. God knows how tired, God knows how weary, God knows how impossible this looks in your life. And he gave her the secret so that you might have it too. He said, when you're at that place and you're looking for something natural, look again, because someone supernatural stands at the well with you. Worship me in spirit and truth, and I'll heal that marriage. Worship me in spirit and truth, and I'll heal that body. Worship me in spirit and truth, and I'll heal those finances. Worship me in spirit and truth, and I'll bring that family back together again. Worship me in spirit and in truth, and I will be the Messiah in your life. And you will leave with a testimony that the whole countryside will come as a result of you sharing it. Now just begin to use your words to worship him. Your worship releases the amen. This bruisedness, this brokenness, this defensiveness, this walking limited and handicapped and paralyzed is over for many of you today. You've carried the hurts of your past for the last day. Not another day will see you carry this brokenness into your heart. You will heal now and begin to trust and walk and move forward. But it's got to come out of the desperation of your own worship. Go ahead. This is your moment. There is healing in this room. There is deliverance in this room. There is an amen in this room. And some of you are just desperate enough to experience it. That's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like. It just took one man to worship the Lord to reset the environment in this room and make it contagious. We have forgotten his ability. We have forgotten his power. But he's not forgotten us. He is back. He is in your hearts. Let him out in your worship. Follow this man in that desperate, urgent worship. For the local church has been quiet too long. Yes. 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 Your worship will put your life and your family back together again. Your worship will compel him to put your life back together again and on the path he had always intended. And you will no longer have to drag your past around and keep asking it for permission to move forward. This is the greatest hour of your life. Seize this moment. Come to the spiritual restaurant of God and don't just look at the food. Don't just look at those who've come, but taste and see that he is good. I believe there are miracles that lie in the balance of your worship. I even feel that some of you have been waiting to be given a chance to come to the altar. Come and come now and come quick. Because some of you felt in your heart you needed to be in this altar. You just needed to be here to voice your praise and your worship. Power. 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 This which has been my affliction will no longer be my affliction. It will be my arena of authority. This is the last day I carry this shame, this pain, any longer in my life. I am going to worship him in spirit of truth, and he will intervene on my behalf. Healing is being poured out. There's more. I just feel in your heart this tug to come forward. Take that step of faith. I know many might need to go home, and we bless you. Have a great day. But I believe there are still a few that need to move forward. You've literally got to take a physical step and come forward. It may not even be comfortable to your natural DNA. You're fighting that battle right now over your worship, and you're thinking, oh my goodness, what will people think if I get that loud? What will people think if I come forward? My blessing and my breakthrough is too precious to me as your pastor to worry now any longer over what people will think or what people will say. I need God in certain parts of my life so bad that nothing else will be a substitute any longer. What is it you need?
This is the conclusion of the teaching. If you would like prayer, you can email us at prayerline@dominionchurch.org or call the church at 281-554-3600. Thanks for joining us.